Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church on this first Sunday of Advent, first Sunday of a new Christian year. Hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and it's good to see you and to be together this morning. You may notice that in your pews, there's something new. There's a pen. There are pens at the end of the ends of each pews. These have our church logo on them. And number one, the reason for these pens is that so that you have something really good to use on your connection cards. So now there are no excuses for not filling out a connection card because these work great. Number two, to answer questions that we've already received. Yes, you may take a pen with you one time. We will continue to replace them, but we can't replace every pen every week. So you can have a pen to keep with you, but keep it and don't take another one next week if possible. But we will keep replacing these pens so that everyone can always fill out a connection card. This past Sunday, a week ago, we had a wonderful Advent workshop. Many of you stayed for that. We had lots of great help, and we enjoyed coloring together some Advent posters that we hope to be hanging in our building sometime during this season, but first, we need to finish coloring them because there's lots to color, and even though we had lots of people coloring, there's still space to be colored. So right now, during fellowship time, we have two of the posters downstairs along with the really nice markers, and we hope that you might take a few minutes during fellowship time to color a little part of the poster, especially if you didn't do that at the Advent workshop. We would love to have these be a truly true community project. Other announcements related to congregational life you can find in your bulletin insert, and Bonnie Kidd also has an announcement.
Stacy. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for that rousing good morning. So, I just wanted to announce to you that this coming Wednesday night at 7:30, everybody who's sitting here needs to come back. Because there's a very special event that's occurring. Our tenor soloist, Austin Terrace, is giving his senior recital from the University of Michigan, and he's going to do it. Instead of doing it in the School of Music, he's going to do it right here in our sanctuary, which is fantastic. And he's going to sing some wonderful repertoire, and probably his voice professor or two are going to be here and listening. And so it would be wonderful to have support. By the way, if you did not know, Austin is Roberta's grandson. And he's going to be graduating from University of Michigan and becoming a teacher, a music teacher. And he's going to be student teaching in the winter term starting in January down in Whiteford with a very good friend of mine, Todd Schreiber. So he's going to have a wonderful semester of student teaching. So come out Wednesday night at 7:30 and support this wonderful young tenor. And we'll all be here. I know I will. So thanks.
Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. Our hearts are longing for something, and so we are here looking for the one who made that longing in us. So we gather now for worship, and we say, "Come, Lord Jesus."
Thank you. Please stand if you are able. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to gather for worship this morning. Please help us to be receptive so that we can grow in both knowledge and appreciation of your infinite love. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. Understand what time it is.
Let us take from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than at the beginning of the universe.
The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Thank you.
book of the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. And from later in that prophetic book, these words: I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in the secret places, so that you may know it is I, the Lord your God, who has called you by name. The word of the Lord.
Will you pray with me? Loving God, we want that song to reflect our hearts. We yearn to grow towards such beauty and such gratitude. We long for faith that lifts us into pure praise. We are not there yet, but we are here. We are here seeking. We are here waiting. We are here hoping for you. There is so much in our lives that has felt so urgent, so much that has distracted us or worried us or called to us. Our minds and our hearts are pulled in 1,000 directions. Even so, here we are because of you. Sometimes we tell ourselves other stories about what we want, what we need, what we're looking for, but right now we face this truth: we are looking for you. In our search, we bring you our prayers. We pray your grace over all that is broken in our world and in our lives. We pray for your light, your wisdom, and your care. We pray for the conviction to do things that need to be done and the courage to do them. We pray for our nation and its leaders. We pray for Standing Rock. We pray for Flint. We pray for Nicaragua. We pray for our own community and for our church and for our families and for ourselves. And we pray your tender care for those we name, for Ellie Grapentine, Jerry Suits, Jim Suits, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Logan Sweet, Marguerite Wright, Jason Adams, Dottie Kassler, Tim and Felicia McDowell, John and Gail Stout, Thurza Cady, for Kay, for Jim Terrace, Jeff Brown, and Mary Faye Grange. We also offer you the deep, private prayers of our own hearts. Gracious God, we have come looking for you. Grant that we might see again that you have come looking for us. Renew our faith, renew our vision, renew our lives, and come to us even now. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand if you're able. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The word of the Lord. And now the children are invited forward for time with Sue Ellen.
Do things look a little different today in here?
Yes.
Yes. Ryder's dad and big brother helped put up all of our greens and wreaths. We had special help putting the trees up, the lights. Yeah. What colors do you see that are different, Ryder? Yes, very good. Named all of the colors. Pink, white, and purple, he said. He's got them all. Yes, purple is one of the special colors for Advent here. There's also something else that we have a lot more of than we usually do. A lot more...
green.
Green and purple. How about candles? Yes, a lot more candles than we usually have. Sometimes we call Advent the seasons of light because we're talking and waiting for Jesus. Last week in children's worship, we talked about how this is sort of Happy New Year, right? Remember? Yes, we said this is the first Sunday of the church new year, which is different than our calendar new year. This is the first Sunday. And we start the church year over and over and over this time with waiting, because we're waiting for what? Who to be born?
Jesus.
Right. Starting the church year with a baby and waiting for a baby. The lights are the symbol of the light that Jesus brought to our world. Jesus gives us a new way of seeing in the dark when things seem sad or lonely or bad. Jesus gives us hope and love and joy and new ways of seeing, just like the candles can. That's what we're going to talk about, all the light that Jesus can bring us. Let's say our prayer. Thank you, God, for Advent, for this time of waiting, this time of light. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. O God, we await you. All your world awaits you. Speak to us. Help us to listen. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to speak to you of darkness. Why not? It is the darkest time of the year. The night is encroaching more and more on every day. Plus, now, most people would say, is a dark time in history. Events and developments and emotions pretty well match to the growing darkness in the skies. But I'm not going to elaborate on that. We use the word darkness as a metaphor for the terrible, the sinister, the dreaded. Think of how we use that word mythically in the current spate of fantasy books and films. Star Wars has the dark side of the Force. Come to the dark side, Luke. In Harry Potter, Voldemort is the Dark Lord. In Lord of the Rings, Sauron is Dark Lord of Mordor. Monsters and vampires and witches lurk in the dark. We speak of our darkest fears, our darkest desires. Satan is the prince of darkness. And in a parable of Jesus, there is a man who is condemned to be thrown into outer darkness. It's easy to see where those associations come from. Darkness is the absence of light, and light is what we see by, and the unseen could always be dangerous. Could be doing anything at all. Could be hideous. Who or what is hiding in the dark? Scary stuff. Now, darkness is also a word we use to stand for ignorance. Not seeing the facts. Not seeing what is real. We are left in the dark. We think also of depression and despair as darkness, where hope is lost sight of. Guilt is darkness too. Blindness to the possibilities of repentance and forgiveness and a whole new life. And grief is darkness. The vanishing from our sight of something or someone we dearly love, and death is our final darkness, to fall from sight into the final unknown. There's a lot to recoil from in facing the dark, living in the dark, disappearing into the dark. But really, we take that too far. Our recoil from the dark and what it might represent is overdone. We have largely misunderstood. Did you hear the line in today's scripture? I will give you the treasures of the dark. There are treasures to be found only in darkness. You know it's true of actual nighttime. You stay indoors with the lights on and you will never, ever see the wonder of the stars. They're up there all the time. Go outside this afternoon and look up. There they are. And you won't see them. We would never, ever see the stars. if it weren't for the falling of darkness. The same is powerfully true in the realm of spirit. The Bible speaks of darkness in a complicated way. More than once it said that God dwells in darkness, in thick darkness. In the story of Genesis, when God creates everything, God says, "Let there be light," but God does not make the darkness disappear. God only divides it from light, because both have a place, and both light and darkness are good. Further, we learn from that very first chapter of the Bible that the measure of a day runs not from dawn till sunset, but from one sunset till the other. A new day starts when darkness comes. Many of the Bible's great wonders occur in the dark. Abraham, frustrated that God's promise of a child has not come true after all these years, is invited by God to step outside and look up at the stars and consider that his offspring will outnumber even them. Later, Jacob, the scoundrel, running from the brother he cheated, is blessed in the night with a dream of angels ascending and descending beside him, and then years later, on another dark night, wrestles with God and hears blessing anew. And the exodus of the Hebrew slaves from Egypt, it happened at night. And the news of Jesus' birth was given first to shepherds in their fields at night. And the first to come from far away to worship him were led by a star, meaning they could never have found Jesus apart from the night. And the rising of Jesus from the dead, we think of it as happening in the morning light. But it happened in the absolute pitch black darkness inside a tomb. And no one witnessed. The founding miracle of Christian faith takes place in the dark. Centuries before that, a Hebrew prophet sang of God giving treasures in the darkness. And well before that, the prophet sang, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." These are lines we read in Advent. In the dark of the year, the prophet sings for all of us who walk in darkness, and the song says, "This is where the light will shine." There's nothing said at all about our darkness being driven entirely away. Only that in the darkness, in this land of deep darkness, great light will be seen. We who see it will know what we did not know before. We will know God with us in new ways. And we will see each other as we had not seen each other before. And hope will rise in us. And a new beginning. How long? Here's the question. Can such a light be seen by us if we pretend we are not in darkness? If we blanket ourselves in false light, refuse to face the fact of whatever long night we are in, and then be steadfastly open to the promise that God will disclose light in that darkness. Barbara Brown Taylor says, too many of us live inside a religion that is totally solar. The call of Christ is to leave a full solar faith, to find new treasures in the darkness, great light given to us precisely there. The love of God is inviting you not to be afraid of the dark. How many of us are in it, but afraid to face it in its fullness? Name your present darkness. Grief, doubt, loneliness, anger, family unhappiness, worry, fear, brokenness. And there you are, in that darkness. And here we all are, in our own measure of it. For we all, as the prophet says, live in the land of deep darkness. It's about all of us. Now, let each of us be present to that in ourselves, and present to it also in each other and to all our people. And let us have the courage to stay present to the dark, and to pray in the dark, and to cry if we need to, and beat our fists if we have to, and to grow still and grow silent and wait and recall that the living God dwells in darkness. We are anxious about what we cannot know, but God is mystery, the mystery inhabiting all that can't be fully known. And the love of God will shine a light here in your darkness, my darkness, our darkness together. A darkness, a light that may be only visible to those who know they are in the dark. It has happened before. It happened in the birth of Jesus, who came, as our carol said, when half spent was the night. Wendell Berry was giving a talk in a small gathering in a coffee house on a rainy, cloudy December day, and he looked out the window and said, "It gets darker and darker, and then Jesus is born." It happened. It happens again and again, and it will happen one day in entirely new form. However and whatever and whenever that may be, and in all the ways in between, light will shine in this darkness. It has happened to all of us before, has it not? In your own past experience, do you not remember surprises of joy when you thought there might be no joy remaining? The descending of a peace that passes all understanding, the showing up at your side of a friend you desperately needed, the sense of the presence of God with you you had not foreseen. Recall that. Keep that. Expect that again. Do not expect it to shine quite the way it ever did before, but expect it. And let us expect it to shine for us together. The one who dwells in darkness is also unfathomable light and will make our darkness luminous. Our task in that is to become luminous in it. Did you know your life is meant to be a candle? And so is the life of us all. And we are meant to be lifted together as part of the fulfilling of God's promise to the world. To the people who dwelt in darkness, a great light has shined. Years ago, during the season of Advent, I was in a funeral home to be with a family who had lost a loved one. As I walked into the building, I was greeted by a bright, sweet, 4-year-old girl who, because she knew me, took my hand and led me to the room where her grandfather lay in his coffin. We stood there and she did not let go of my hand. She looked up and said, "It is sad." I said, "Yes, I know you miss him." And then she did something I will never forget. Her mother was standing on the other side of her. She lifted up her free hand to take her mother's hand, as she also held mine. And she lifted her feet off the floor. And as children will do, she began to swing slowly, back and forth and back and forth. And she looked upward and began to sing. "Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay." She could not possibly have consciously known the connections that her songs were making. Her grandfather in front of her, in his burial box, in her mind, also a baby in a manger box. A man before her, asleep in the dark of death. In her mind, also a newborn baby, asleep in the dark of a cattle stall. No crying he makes. No crying anymore. That family and I were standing in the valley of the shadow of death. And she, in her sadness, looked up and sang down the light, the beautiful light, and the darkness around us opened up perfectly to receive it, like a manger received the Holy Child who would change the world. We have seen that light, and we await it. It has shined and will shine, and we will sing and we will shine in the darkness. Before the offering, a word first about something that will happen just afterward. We will sing, as always, a concluding hymn. This hymn is written in first person singular. I, me, mine. For good reason, because the man who wrote it in a time of terrible personal grief. But because we do stand in life's circumstance together, and because we do come with faith and hope joined together, I invite us today to sing where all those singular pronouns are, the plural ones, we, our, us. You'll need to mess with the verbs just a little to make it work. But it will work. And now, dear friends, the offering, of course, because we never worship without making answer to the one who gives and speaks and offers strength to us, we offer in return our gift for the in our darkness, lift our own living, all we are, all we give, and all we can ever be, to be joined to your light for all the world and for eternity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. peace of Christ be with you.
And